This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
It's now time for Connecting Caregivers with author, speaker, caregiver advocate, and talk show host, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for caregivers.
All the caregivers around the world today, it's time to lift you up. It's time to celebrate. Good afternoon and welcome to Connecting Caregivers with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers with love, laughter, and lessons learned, because I got a whole bunch of that stuff. And every day I find another lesson learned, believe me, on the show where you can find hope and help. We're just here to be a resource, a shoulder, maybe a laugh every now and then is always good. Because we know that your caregiving journey is very tough. And today we have Ed on the boards. How you doing, Ed?
Not bad on a Friday. A little cooler today because it's raining.
Yes.
Yeah, it's
nice,
okay.
Nice little change.
And especially since my daughter's out of town and I have to water her plants. Yes, Yay. That makes me happier.
Grass isn't as crunchy today.
What?
Grass isn't as crunchy.
Oh, yes.
You know, like when you walk in the snow, I'm noticing it's crunch, crunch, crunch. Down in Florida, it's crunch, crunch, crunch. That's because your lawn is brown.
Okay, and with me we have my best friend, my co-host, and my sidekick, not psychic, Lynn Thornley.
Good afternoon.
How are you today?
Good. Happy birthday to Janie.
Oh, happy birthday, Janet. That's Lynn's cousin.
A big one.
What is it?
More than me, 75.
Oh.
Uh-oh, Janie, I told.
Oh, Janet. So happy birthday, Janet. Janet's in Canada. I hope you're having a fabulous day. And hi to Gary, too.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Does she have any plans?
Yes, she's going to the casino with her daughter. And then at night, the whole family's getting together for dinner.
Nice. That's very nice. That's the best part.
Yeah,
the best part. And the casino, I guess, if you like it.
Well, you know, Jenny and I, we like it.
Yeah. Yeah. Not me.
Anything
I'm
not
like,
good?
Here's my $30.
Exactly.
Oh, come on. You never spent that much. She's $5. Hey. $5.
Yeah, he teaches his own. Well, anyway, I want to give a shout out to our newest listeners. We have Lily in St. Pete. We have Nancy in Largo, and we have Kelly in Pennsylvania.
Well, welcome, ladies.
Yay, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, so I always say there's plenty of room around the Connecting Caregivers table for new listeners, whether you listen when we're live on the radio or on YouTube or Facebook or my website or whatever, because, like I said, we're just here to help you out. So that other voice you hear in the background is my friend Deb Bebel. How are you today?
I am awesome, and I'm very honored to be here to share with the caregivers.
Well, I'm so glad. Deb is an acupuncturist, and we first met about 20 years ago in a networking group.
Wow.
With our friend Mark Vernick.
Yep.
Lynn loves Mark Vernick, too.
Mm-hmm.
He's a great
man. Where are you from in Pennsylvania?
Erie, Pennsylvania. Top left corner.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Top we left owned corner. A motel in the Poconos.
Ah.
Yeah.
But I had to go to Erie to get my car inspected. There wasn't an inspector place around there, and we had to drive.
That's Pennsylvania for you.
I know.
That was years and years ago.
Well, my sister lives in New Oxford, so it's like where they make all the pretzels.
Yeah, yeah. Oots
pretzel,
Utz and stuff, yeah.
It's like pretzels
everywhere.
Is it
Utz or Oots?
Utz.
Utz.
Utz. Okay. So we got that straight. So I just want to say, I want to remind you all to tune into a support group. Whether it's my support group or someone else's, you can go to lindaburhans.com under events and you'll see the virtual support groups that I do via Zoom, a journaling workshop every month, and also the live support groups. But there's also other support groups by other facilitators other than me. I'm not the only girl on the block and I don't want to be. I would like to see enough support groups so a caregiver could find one every day if they needed one. So you're going to find out so much information when you go there, and just knowing that you're not alone. And especially if you try it via Zoom, you don't even have to show your face if you don't want to. You can just come in and listen and think about it. And it's funny, some people do come in and they have that black screen. And after like 10 minutes, they're like, hi. Hi. Because you feel a little comfortable and you get to see that you're with a bunch of people that are in the same situation as you are. Mm-hmm. It makes things so much easier. So today we have Natalie, I think it's Van Ziel. I just call her Natalie. From StackCare calling in. We've had some very interesting conversations. We met through some friends and LinkedIn. So do we have Natalie on the line?
I am on the line.
How are you today?
I am great. I'm great. I hear it's raining down there in Florida. Much nicer up here in Virginia.
That's okay. We need a little rain, so it's okay.
That's
okay.
Right.
So, Natalie, tell us a little about yourself and about Stack Hair, and how did it even start?
All right, yes. So my name is Natalie, and I'm the VP of Marketing and Business Development for Stack Hair. And we started this company back in 2017, just really identifying a need to care for seniors, whether they live alone or in communities. We really started working with senior living communities, and then came COVID, and we expanded our product into the home environment before, I've kind of launched right into it. But to explain a little bit what Stack Hair is, it's a, what we like to say, a passive monitoring system. So we set up little motion sensors. They're very small and discreet in different areas of the home. And all they do is they measure motion or lack of motion. And combined with our, you know, technology, our data science, we're able to understand when a person, you know, understand a person's typical habits and patterns and routines. We all have those. Just think about the fact, you know, how when you go take a shower, which side you dry yourself on, it's always going to be the same. And
right.
The same with seniors. They always, they generally have patterns that they,
yeah, we
of,
all do.
You know, have every day. We all do. And so our system is able to see if there's something unusual happening. If they're not moving when they generally move, or if they're staying in the bathroom for longer, particularly at night, that could really be an issue. If they're in there for long, that could indicate that they've fallen. A lot of falls happen in the bathroom, in the bedroom at night.
Yeah, or maybe if, all these little maybe things, if all of a sudden they're going to the bathroom very often during the night.
That too, you know, that could also indicate that they're actually, first of all, at an increased risk of falling, and also that they might have a UTI.
Exactly.
You know, which is something that they wouldn't even tell you about if you were to ask them, when they might not even remember how often they went.
Right.
So, right. So that's the purpose of this technology, is to keep people healthy and safe in their home without actually ever asking them to do anything. There's nothing they need to press. It's very private. There's no cameras, no microphone. In other words, it is completely passive, and it just runs 24/7.
Okay, so... So you have these little, do you call them sensors?
Yes, they're motion sensors.
Okay, and so how many do you put in a house? Let's say we have like a, what do? We put one in the bedroom, the bathroom, the kitchen, the living room?
The bedroom.
Correct. So that's exactly what we do. Favorite room, kitchen, bathroom, and bedroom.
The places where they're most, where they spend most of their time.
Exactly, and that's generally what happens. It's rare that a person will be all over a big home, even if they have a large home. They generally really have key areas of activity. And together with the way our technology works, it's not necessary to put sensors all over the house, because
yeah.
our system understands what's going on.
Right.
We also have two contact sensors, one that we put on the exit door, because you get these situations where people wander off the middle of the night and things like that. And then we also have a contact sensor for the refrigerator, which is very helpful to see if a person is actually opening the fridge, to show that they're eating, that they're drinking, and things like that.
Or to see if they left their refrigerator open.
Yes, we will send out an alert, and that happens a lot. Tell the senior that they've left their fridge open, they generally say, no, I didn't, and generally, it's always true. You know, and that's also important, especially in hot areas like Florida and so on, that
yeah.
you don't want to have any food spoilage.
Yeah. Natalie, this is Debbie. I just have a question for you. So if the door opens, the outside door opens, are you sent an alert if you're a family member?
Yes. All these alerts and notifications go to a person's phone. So, you know, the family member or the caregiver. So, and for instance, in the case of the door openings, it will send out the message within 7 seconds. So within 7 seconds,
seconds.
that person has opened the door. And then you can generally see that there's a lack of activity in the house, which could show you, you can see that on the app, you know, the activity page, and then you can see that that person has actually left the house.
Hmm. Interesting.
Because sometimes they might just open the door to let the dog out or something like that, you know, so you just, again, it's not a camera. It can't really see anything.
And if people wanted a camera, they could add their own camera to it if they felt they needed both. But I think that the fact of monitoring how many times you're in the bathroom, monitoring how many times you're opening up the refrigerator drawer, you know, or putting the stove on and everything, could be very useful, especially for a long-distance caregiver. Because Long distance caregivers call up mom. Mom goes, "I'm great. Everything's fabulous." Yeah. And she doesn't tell you that she fell and her legs all bruised, or that dad didn't poop in 3 days.
Can the sensors tell if you fall?
Go ahead.
Can the sensors tell if you fall?
Indirectly, you know, it's not like an instant alert, because it's, again, it's not a camera or not a wearable. But what we will see is that there's no motion. So, you know, we have the night activity monitor. So, for instance, if there's no motion in the bedroom, we can see that there might be an issue. And you can set all these notifications. That we have default settings, you know, for instance, for the night activity monitor, it would be 3 hours. But if you think somebody is at risk, you could set it all the way down to 15 minutes to say, hey, there's no motion in the bedroom, something's going on, you know, or there's no motion in any parts of the house during the daytime when you know the person is at home. You know, that might indicate that they have fallen somewhere and that they can't, maybe they're unconscious or something.
Yeah.
But it's important to know it's not, you know, it's not a camera, so we can't see what's happening. We can just deduct.
I think you might have a larger success rate with that with certain clients because they don't want any camera. You know, I hear the stories all the time. They put a camera in the living room or whatever, and before you know it, there's a blanket over it. Or, you know, or
they're not stupid.
No, they're not stupid. Exactly.
No, exactly. And you can't put it in the bedroom and the bathroom. I mean, I think that would be horrible to have a camera there. And so that's where a lot of falls happen at night, for instance.
Right.
And one another way we can see that there's a fall is that what I was talking about, what we call the bathroom overstay. So at night, we just say, no matter what a person's habits are, if they're in the bathroom for more than 15 minutes...
There's a problem.
We just assume there's an issue. Yeah. We don't know what. It could be that they're constipated, but that also is an issue, you know?
Yeah, maybe we need to know about that, too.
Exactly. I was just reading, you know, that one of the symptoms, the early non-movement symptoms of Parkinson's, is constipation, for instance. And constipation leads to UTIs. I mean, there's a wealth of information, and you can use it proactively just by looking at these kind of things and saying, you should take mom or dad to the doctor, or just react to the notification, say there's a problem, call in, find out if they're doing okay, and then decide.
Well, you know, I know a professional, he's an advocate like I am, and his dad would tell him all the time that he was going to the bathroom, but his dad had stopped going to the bathroom, but he didn't think he had to ask him that because his dad always went to the bathroom. And to the point that his dad was so impacted, he almost died. Hmm. He had to go to the hospital.
Oh my gosh.
So something like that could make a really big difference for somebody.
Exactly. And that's why I like to say, you know, seniors going to the hospital over the age of 80, there's a 50% risk that they come out more frail, more dependent. And you want to keep them as independent for as long as possible. So there's things that we can't treat, you know, find out stuff about cancer and so on. But there's a lot of things that if you take care of them early on, if you figure out that there might be a UTI early, that all these issues, and you deal with them, you can avoid that hospital. Even a fall, if you find somebody within an hour, there's an 88% chance of that person recovering completely without any issues. Whereas the longer they lie on the floor, the more chances
it's terrible.
They will have bigger issues. Yeah.
It's terrible, and no one wants to look. You know, many years ago, my stepmother was in Virginia. She lived by herself, and she fell. And she was on the floor for 8 hours until the neighbor came home from work, and she could bang her cane on the wall. So it made
terrible.
Her whole situation, you know, she had broken something, and it made her whole situation just so much harder. So that's important.
Yeah.
So tell me some success stories. I like to hear that.
Well, you know, I mean, I really feel so strongly about this product because I really see that we have literally probably saved people's lives, you know, whereas like recently, for instance, this one person had fallen on her head, even though they had cameras in the house, the daughter didn't know. And because she wasn't watching the camera, she was out and about.
Right.
But then this lady went into her living room and she wasn't feeling well. She had, she was feeling cold and dizzy, and she sat down, but she turned on the heating, and it was in the middle of the summer, you know, not like right now, and passed out in her chair. And our system also measures temperature and humidity, and it sent out an alert. It sent out an alert saying that the temperature was at 93 degrees, and the daughter and the home care agency. We work a lot with home care agencies as well.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of incorporate our system. into part of their care services, because mm-hmm. it really is an enhanced level of care. And they went and checked in on this lady, and turns out she had a concussion. Uh-huh. And, you know, nobody would have known. She was in her chair. It was hot in her house. That's not good for them anyway. So that was a great story. Another lady recently who really had stopped eating. All of a sudden, out of the blue, it started in April, we would get these notifications day after day, you know, sometimes 19 hours without going into the kitchen, without opening the fridge. All of us know that she has her water jug in the fridge, that she has to feed her cat. So, you know, even the cat was starving. Mm. And, you know, the family found out about it. And the care, again, it was together with a home care agency. So now they've just adjusted the care. The agency has sent the caregiver in the afternoon to, you know, make sure that this lady has a meal and lunch and a dinner and, you know, kind of things like that. And it's also part of the cognitive decline issue. But again, you know, this person is still functioning. She doesn't need to move into any memory care. But this helps her stay independent for longer.
Yeah, because we want to be proactive. We want to try to be preventative as best that we can. And I think many seniors, too, I know if I was in my house and I was starting to feel a little frail, I wouldn't mind having that there. I would want my family to know if something's happened to me. I don't know if I would want the camera, but I could deal with that.
So, that Natalie, question. This is Debbie again. So, does your... the stacks, do they get offered by the agencies as like an extra that they can then offer to the client, or do the families usually buy them, or does it go both ways?
Both. So we have a website, you know, you can go into our stack.care website and you will be able to buy the system. It costs $95 a month, the subscription. We provide the hardware, no hardware cost, and you can cancel anytime after 3 months.
Okay.
So that you can do it privately. I've been helping people do a bunch of installations privately in this area recently, but it's, you know, it works great for families. Or you go via home care agencies. So both are possible, and I can always put people in touch with a good home care agency, you know, that would so home care agencies, typically they incorporate it into their care costs because they see the value of caring for people and enhancing their care levels, you know, really having that you know, higher level of care by knowing what's happening and giving families proactive information. And the families have access to the information as well. So they get the app for themselves and they can see what's happening. And we have designed this concept, which we call Share the Care, where the families take care of all the monitoring during the nighttime if something's up with mom.
That's
and during the daytime,
fabulous.
The agencies take over.
That's fabulous because
I think it
gives everybody a turn, but also even if everybody wants to be, or let's say all the sisters, the three sisters, all want to be on notified 24/7, they all know what's going on. So it's not like, you didn't tell me that happened to mom yesterday or, you know.
No, I know. It's great. And you even have a communication page on our web, on our app so that you can communicate with each other over the app. You know, with family members, and an indefinite amount of people can be on the app. Like, you know, like you said, siblings, everybody who wants can be on there. I mean, it's like,
That's no fabulous. And it's easy to install, because you said you were helping with some installations, but it's pretty easy to install, right?
It is. It really is. And I just like to, because if it's local, I like to kind of offer it.
Yeah.
Sometimes they take me up on it, and sometimes they don't. But it is really pretty simple. It's, you know, not very difficult. We have a gateway that you plug in and then you connect that. And we also have a system for people who don't have Wi-Fi, by the way. That's a bit more expensive.
Oh, that's good to know.
But yes, yeah, right. So no, it is easy to install and
I'm even thinking
explanatory. Plus,
I have some cousins in Michigan and their dad lives on the Upper Peninsula, like in a cabin by himself. Yeah. I think I need to talk to them about this because they've already had some issues where he fell and another time something else happened, but he doesn't, you know, he wants to stay there. He's happy there. Mm-hmm. But if they could have some kind of monitoring system for him without cameras and everything, I think it would make a big difference. So
I have a good success story. Yeah,
go ahead. I have a neighbor.
She's 94. She lives on 12 acres herself. I try to check in. I try to check in regularly on her, but, you know, I'm busy and I'm not with family. And I told her about StackCare about, I would say, 8 months ago. And she's like, no, no, no. You know, they resisted it a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I spoke to her again a few weeks ago, and she's like, okay, then maybe. And now, you know, I put it in on her in our home on Wednesday, and she had her best friend there so that she could be on the system as well. Uh-huh. And this lady gave me a hug and feels very grateful that she, because I said, Ms. Marilyn, if you fall at 10 a.m. On a Wednesday morning after I've just called you, and I don't call you again until Friday, you might lay there for 2 days and nobody would know.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's good stuff.
And I just to say on that, I just had a friend who, she bought her husband the, you know, smart watch, and he's got the smartphone, and she finally felt secure enough that she could leave town. She's got, her kids are here, and she goes at 6 o'clock at night and tries to call him, knows he should be sitting in his chair watching the news. He doesn't answer, he's not answering the phone. She called the house line, and so she has to call the son, have the son go over to the house, and he has plugged, he's charging his watch, he's charging his phone, and didn't hear the house phone.
Yeah, and like, no big deal.
And so here she is, she thought she finally was able to relax and go out of town, and she's like, now you ruined it.
She needs to stack.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Interesting.
Well, you know, absolutely, because then she can look at the activity page and say, that gets updated every 5 minutes.
Especially
in
the bedroom,
say, oh,
see what he's up to.
He's just not here. So, yeah, right. No, she does need it.
So, Natalie, once again, where can our listeners find you?
So they can find me, they can find this, you know, the website is www.stack.care. They can contact me directly. So Natalie spelled with an H, N-A-T-H-L-I-E, at stack.care. I'm happy to give my phone number also, 941-400-0794. And, that's big.
Thank you so
always
much.
Always there. I always love to talk.
Thank you so much for being with me today. And we'll be speaking on the podcast soon, too. So I really appreciate you, and I hope our listeners take heed to some of this stuff. We'll talk soon, my friend.
Wonderful. Yes, thank you for having me on. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. And right now it's time to hear from our wonderful partners, because you know the deal. If you don't hear from them, you don't hear from me. So don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arden Courts is not just a place to live. It's a place to call home. Residential living combined with quality caregiving. This is the philosophy behind Arden Courts. Communities created exclusively for individuals with Alzheimer's disease and related dementia who would benefit from a safe and structured environment. For additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides, call 888-478-2410 to locate a community nearest you. Inquire about our educational seminars, resource library, or support groups, or simply feel free to ask questions you may have about Alzheimer's and related dementias. At Arden Courts, we know, we understand, and we can help, because memory care is all we do. Remember, call 888-478-2410 for additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides.
Sean W. Scott has been practicing elder law and qualifying clients for Medicaid for over 30 years. While his practice is in all areas of estate planning, such as durable power of attorney, healthcare surrogates, and wills, he also prides himself on having a 100% accuracy rate on getting clients approved for Medicaid. Why Medicaid, you may ask? Do you want to pay up to $16,000 a month for a nursing home should the time come? Obviously, no one wants to have to endure this cost. So, even though you may have planned well for retirement, the reality is, things happen. Planning ahead is never too soon. You need to make sure your income and assets are protected so that you can take care of you and your loved ones. Florida law is very specific on how and what is protected and how to protect it. Give Sean a call. He can help. 727-539-0181. That's 727-539-0181.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
And we're back, and as we were just talking about Sean Scott, he is doing two free seminars, Friday, September 1st at the Largo Library from 2:30 to 4:30, and Tuesday, September 5th at the Palm Harbor Library from 2 to 4. If you're interested, you can RSVP to 727-539-0181. He'll talk all about crisis and advanced Medicaid planning, and he has a fabulous book. You can either download it from his website for free, or if you go to one of his seminars, he'll give you a free hard copy. So please get your documents in order. It's important. So Deb, how are you today?
I'm awesome.
So Deb and I met through a networking group probably 27 years ago? I'm only here 23, so.
Well, then it was 23 maybe, because you had just gotten
it was
here.
My first group, yeah. And so we met in our first networking group, and I have always believed in acupuncture. When I lived in New York at one time, I had facial neuralgia.
You're from New York?
Yeah.
It's surprising, isn't it?
I'm so happy.
She's just lost her accent.
Yeah. So I had facial neuralgia. And I went to a doctor, and the doctor told me I was going to have to take a prescription for the rest of my life.
Right.
And I didn't want to do that. And I went to an acupuncturist, and about a month later, I was all better.
Yep.
What?
I know.
It's craziness.
I know, but it unblocks the channels. That's the issue. Yeah.
Yeah, that is the issue. And I think people are afraid, oh, all right, so we're going to talk about the whole thing. Okay. So acupuncture has been around forever.
5,000 years.
5,000 years.
And about 2,500 years documented. Initially, it was all passed down by word of mouth, family within the families. They called them barefoot doctors because it was all, you know, father to son and went down that way. And so that's how they got trained. And so they had practitioners in the villages, and that's who took care of everybody. And so they would be living in the village. Their deal was to keep you well. If people got sick in the village, they weren't doing their job. Mm. And so, go figure. They didn't wait till they got sick.
Yeah.
But they also knew who's pregnant, who, you know, what the season is, you know, how old is grandma, and, oh, look, you know, look, here's the new one, here's the little ones doing whatever. So they would stay up on everything and be able to stay ahead of it.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
Rather than waiting until.
How did the first person ever figure out where to stick the needles?
Well, it wasn't always needles. So it could be sharpened stones that didn't necessarily obviously break the skin, thin pieces of bamboo. There's a whole, I mean, if you looked up pictures of it, yeah, you'd be like, really? No, thank you.
Yeah.
So now, if you've ever had blood drawn, usually that's a 16, 18, 20 gauge needle for size.
Mm-hmm.
Higher the number, finer the needle.
Okay.
I can fit 15 of my acupuncture needles in the end of the needle that they draw blood with.
Yeah. So it doesn't hurt.
So they're
hurt.
So thin. Shouldn't hurt. I'm not going to say it never hurts, but if it does, I mean, I am sticking a needle in your body, so hopefully you feel it, but it shouldn't be painful.
No, and it's just like a pinch for a second.
Yeah, it's a pinch for a second. If it's something that's, I always tell people, if I need to move it, I can do it. If I need to adjust it, I can do it. But if it's going to bother you, I'm just going to take it out and put something someplace else.
Yeah.
Because there's 12 basic channels that run the whole length of the body, so I don't necessarily have to use that exact point. I can get at it from someplace else.
So how did you get interested in it for yourself?
So my background's critical care nursing. I wish I had a great story, but my background's critical care nursing. I did adult and pediatric open heart, both with, I started up in upstate New York. I went to school for my nursing degree in upstate New York at Keuka College. That's K-E-U-K-A. And then I worked in intensive care, moved to Boston and did open heart at Boston Children's.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and then my husband is an operating room nurse, and we did traveling nursing for 6 years. And one of our assignments was in Hudson Bayonet Point. And that, if anybody's from here for a while, they remember the storm with no name. That was the weekend we came to town. And so we showed up, and as a traveling nurse, you show up on a Friday, you set your apartment up, you start work on Monday, you work for 3 months, you head out of town again. So we came in on that Friday night, the storm came in, we're up in Hudson, and it was cool light show, lots of lightning, thought it was cool. We were supposed to be meeting somebody in St. Pete to go to a St. Louis baseball game the next day. So we got up the next morning. Oh, we can't take that bridge down. Let's do a different one. We were oblivious to the extent of the storm. But this is all for a reason. I'm telling you this.
That's
so we get down there. We can't go to the game. But Spiff's is having their thing, St. Pete International Folk Festival. So we're like, oh, we're already downtown.
Well,
yeah. Let's go.
Festival is always good.
Yeah. So we went to St. Pete International Folk Festival. And between the Japanese table and the Chinese table, there used to be a school for acupuncture here in St. Pete, and there was a guy there sticking needles in himself, talking about the school, and I was like, well, that's kind of interesting. So I got on their mailing list. And so we did traveling nursing for another 4 years after that. But every now and then when I would think about it again, suddenly I'd get something in the mail again. And then I found out, looked around to see what other schools were around, looked into it, because it's a four-year program, and I already had my bachelor's in nursing, so it's an additional four-year program.
Yeah, 4 years.
That we did, we went school year-round, so we finished it in three, but it's still back to school for another 3 years. And,
wow.
And then, and now it's actually four, sometimes five, because of things they've added. But, so finished that, and didn't really have the intention to stay here. So when there used to be a school at 66th and 54th in St. Pete, Florida Institute for Traditional Chinese Medicine. And like I said, four-year program, graduated, didn't figure we'd be staying, but got an offer to move to go into a chiropractor's office and said, all right, you know, get to know the area. Well, we kind of thought we'd be going back to Charleston, South Carolina, you got an offer. Got an offer to stay here. Once you're established, it's hard to just pick up and move someplace else. So
it's not so bad here.
No, and I've been doing this now. I've been doing acupuncture since '95.
Wow.
So, and it's been consistent. I was on staff here at All Children's for through school, and then also for a few years after, one day a week, keeping my foot in Western, but majority in Eastern.
Yeah.
So as a patient coming in, I understand the Eastern side of it. Not all acupuncturists have Western training.
Right.
So they, and some of that, some of that's a little nervous because they think acupuncture can do everything, and it certainly can't, but you have to have a healthy respect for both sides.
All right, so what can it do? What can it help people with? So I said it helped me with that facial neuralgia. There's
right.
been different
trigeminal
times.
Trigeminal neuralgia, yeah.
I used to go to a chiropractor and who also did acupuncture. And every now and then, if something was just up with me, she said, we need to do a little acupuncture.
Mm-hmm.
So explain to our listeners, because I think a lot of people just think, acupuncture, I don't want to hear about it.
Right. And like I said, the very, very fine needles. But acupuncture can do a lot and can do something for everyone. I mean, I had to get acupuncture. When I came for my interview for school, the gentleman who ran the school said, have you ever had acupuncture? And I was like, well, no. He goes, well, you can't come and be a student here unless you get a treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And we were living in West Palm at the time, being traveling nursing. And so I went back there. I got a treatment. It told me more so of what I would never do as a practitioner, but that's okay.
Yeah.
And nothing was wrong with me. I just wanted to experience the acupuncture. So come in, get calmed down. I mean, you're talking about your listeners are mostly caregivers. And I wanted to say, as a caregiver, and I know you stress this above everything else, is they have to take care of themselves.
Absolutely.
So I would imagine a lot of these caregivers are going, oh, I wonder if it could help my loved one.
Yeah.
And that's... Yes, it probably could, but at this point, we're talking about taking care of you. So if you came in, my appointments are usually at least an hour and a half per person, and you come in, we chat a little bit, find out what's going on, get comfortable on the table, get the needles in. The needles take 30 minutes. It's what's acupuncture really is called a slow medicine because it's not something that you'll feel a difference, but it's not a pill that you're
going
to take.
It's like a medication going into your bloodstream.
But a pill takes a half hour to get going, too.
Right. But so this is a cumulative effect, and it's going to work at more levels than just the superficial level. So sometimes emotions will come out. Sometimes you'll go home and you'll watch Christmas time, watch all those sappy commercials, and you'll start crying and be like, what? But it brings those emotions out. And any emotions, you want to be able to bring them up, deal with them. And then you get to get rid of them. And sometimes it brings up happy emotions. Sometimes it just kind of, what can it treat, you asked, as far as that goes?
Well, one of my friends told me recently that her daughter never would have made it through her pregnancy without acupuncture.
Absolutely.
So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I mean, just stabilizing, it can actually help as far as at the delivery. Also, it can help people get pregnant, balancing out the hormones and everything.
Mm.
Works on headaches, works on sinuses.
What about sleeping?
Sleeping, it does. It's a cumulative. I know my husband has issues with sleeping.
That's why I'm asking.
And I've been trying. But sometimes there's a underlying imbalance that sometimes it's a nutritional and that kind of thing. So that has to be addressed also. But it, for a lot of people, it does help sleep. Digestive issues, obviously pain management, obviously like injuries, sporting, that kind of thing, sciatica, low back.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of who's been on my table recently as far as all that goes. But
and how often do they come?
A lot of my patients, if it's just standard care, they usually come like once a month, once every 6 weeks.
Okay.
If it's an acute situation, they might come every week for a couple weeks and get that taken care of and then stretch it back out. Some I only see seasonally because we're dealing with allergies. So it just depends on...
Oh, it's good for allergies.
Good for allergies. Stays ahead of it. And, I mean, there's really, like I said, there's really no one that I can't help. And I've done everything. I've treated patients from, I think my youngest one was 3 months. And when you do like a 3-month-old or little kids, you never let go of the needle. So the needle goes in, you stimulate, because you can. When you see kids, you know, are they happy, are they sad, are they not? Mm-hmm. Their emotions are on the surface. So you adjust the needle, you're stimulating the needle, and then you take it out. It's like doing animals. Veterinarians do animals. The animals chill out completely when the needles go in. But for
they do animals with it.
Veterinarians do animals.
Right.
I can't because I'm not a vet. But veterinarians, our previous dog had injured his knee, didn't quite make the whole tear in the knee, so it was able to be treated with the acupuncture and it healed it. Knees for adults. I mean, it's a tear. I've had somebody on the table this week with a small rotator cuff tear, treating that because the acupuncture brings more circulation to the area, brings more energy to the area, so helps
with inflammation.
Heal. Absolutely,
which is the number one killer.
Yeah, which absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's so important. And you know, I'm so anti medications because people are taking 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I mean,
the list. They
10
come
medications.
In with the printed list. Yeah.
Yeah, and
it's scary.
And it just doesn't work.
No,
and
work. What's interacting with what along the way? That's the catch.
And I think part of this is kind of like preventative, also though.
Should be. That's why I see people once a month, you know, so you can. And I always tell them if something comes up in the meantime, don't wait for another 4 weeks. You know, I've had somebody came in this week. She goes, I pulled my back out on Monday. I was seeing you on Wednesday. I was so relieved that it wasn't.
Why
right
didn't you
after.
Pull me on Monday?
Well, I know. And sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. But, and all the treatments are very personalized. So, and they change it like every time. So even if you come in with, you know,
one
a
time
similar
you have one
complaint,
issue, right?
Yeah, or if it's a similar complaint, we can just go at it differently. I mean, if you've got something going on with your left elbow, first I'm going to use your right knee to go after that. And people are like, "What? Well, if your left elbow's hurting, you don't particularly want me to put needles in because it already hurts." But there are connecting vessels, there's connecting meridians that I can address in the right knee, and you will feel a difference immediately because I have you doing range of motion with the sore part, and you're like, you put the needles down there, how come it doesn't hurt anymore up here? I'm like, that's the way it works.
And unbelievable, the ear, isn't it?
The whole ear
can't
has a body.
Can't do anything for a broken collarbone, can you?
Can't put it back, no.
She's still healing from hers.
No, I got released.
Oh.
It's not going to heal. Just go on with your life. I'm fine. It doesn't hurt me at all.
Yeah. Part of it is because there's so much pressure when you snap it.
She used a bone stimulator for months. And
yeah, but nothing.
It's good she did, though.
Well, yeah. I did. It really didn't do any good, but it doesn't hurt. So the doctor says, oh, nobody will know unless they take an x-ray.
Yeah.
So I thought maybe if you stick a needle in it or something.
Doesn't make it go back. That's a tough one.
What about depression?
Depression, it depends on like where that's coming from. I mean, if you're for your caregivers, is it because you're taken care of, you know, the loved one, or is it because they passed away?
Right.
There's a lot of talking that goes on in my room, and I always tell everybody that I have a vacuum underneath my table, and it's always open, so they can leave anything they want in the room, and it's not dumping on me. Doesn't affect anybody else that comes in the room, but they get to leave it there. And the conversations that happen in my room are amazing. And they just are comfortable to talk. So sometimes just depositing that allows them to do that. But also there's emotions that go with all of your organs. And I'm going after organs. So the liver has anger involved with it. The heart has joy or overjoy. The stomach and the spleen deal with anxiety and worry. The lungs, wow. The lungs deal with grief, and the kidneys deal with fear. So a lot of times, after people have gone through a, you know, funeral and stuff, yeah. They end up getting sick, respiratory stuff. That's that grief. They've got to experience it, though. So, you know, and if you keep pushing down, the emotion's going to come out somewhere. So sometimes fear turns into anger because there's an order of the organs also. So sometimes some can get too much here and too much, like too much liver passes over and goes over to the heart. If it doesn't, if it's too much, it'll, and it's not the organs in your body, it's the energy of the organs. So there's
the flow.
There's a circulation that is supposed to happen that's nutritive, that's a benefit, and then there's a negative. So all of those emotions are there for a purpose. So being able to experience them, release them, recognize them, even if you don't want to experience them, when you get an emotion that comes up, identify it. Is it depression? Is it anger? Is it fear? You know, is it joy? Is it mania? You know, there's a lot of things can happen. So dealing with patients who are depressed, a lot of talking helps. But it also helps to ground them. It also helps to clear some stuff out.
Yeah, so, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
It just opening some channels, mm-hmm. because sometimes people are depressed and they don't want to go on meds or anything like that. And they just don't know what to do. And they're kind of like teetering at that edge.
Yeah, but if you give them the opportunity to have an hour of calm, they get a chance to kind of get a breath.
And just focusing on their body and their selves.
Yeah, and they get a breath.
Yeah, and maybe just open up some of those pathways that are light blocking. So where can our listeners find you?
I am part of iSpa Health Studio. That's the letter I and then SPA Health Studio. I'm on Ulmerton, just 0.2 mile west of Starkey. Within iSpa, we have acupuncture. That would be me. We have a massage therapist. We have an esthetician that does skincare. We have a counselor, and we have a diet program within the group. So we're all independent, but...
you all work together.
We all work together, support each other, and we're all... I'm there Monday through Friday. I have the first patient usually on my table by 7 a.m., and I...
That wouldn't be me.
And I try to be out of there by, you know, be home by 6, but...
Wow, that's a long day.
That's, well, but like my father says, you have to make hay while the sun shines. So you're there when people are available, so...
Right. So what's the last thing you would like our caregivers to hear today?
Care for yourself, but, you know, do an acupuncture if that doesn't sound like something that you want to try. Just care for yourself. Do something beneficial.
Yeah, go for a massage or go for a walk.
And you have to remember, there's only a few professions that can legally touch you. So my care, my treatment, yes, you get needles in place. Yes, you have 30 minutes on the table laying there. It's comfortable. The lights are low. We got music playing. It's all chilled out. But I always do massage after, and I don't do a full body massage, but I do areas of relaxation. So you always walk out a little taller and a little more calm than when you walked in.
Some of my caregivers just need to be touched.
Exactly.
They just need to be touched.
That's it. And hair, you wonder why the ladies get their hair done every week. Hairdressers can legally touch you.
Yeah.
Your doctors can legally touch you, although most doctors aren't doing a lot of touching these days. You know, massage therapists can legally touch you, but there are others that, you know,
I became a minister so I could touch my caregivers.
There you go.
Because I need to touch them sometimes.
Yeah. And acupuncture can touch.
Yeah.
So there you go.
And there's a power in touch.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you so much for being with us
today.
I so appreciate you. And now it's time to hear from our other partners. So don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Choosing the right chiropractor is an important choice to make. Located in Seminole, the Alexander Spine Center team is trained on the latest chiropractic treatments and technologies. At Alexander Spine Center, you'll find chiropractic and physical therapy care that is safe, effective, and a natural approach to pain and other health-related issues. Chiropractic unlocks your body's potential and natural healing process to ensure your life is a healthy life. We treat clients from the womb to the tomb. Call 727-397-3000 for a free consultation today or visit our website at www.alexanderspinecenter.com.
They take good care of me twice a week, so check them out.
Arden Courts is not just a place to live. It's a place to call home. Residential living combined with quality caregiving. This is the philosophy behind Arden Courts. communities created exclusively for individuals with Alzheimer's disease and related dementia who would benefit from a safe and structured environment. For additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides, call 888-478-2410 to locate a community nearest you. Inquire about our educational seminars, resource library, or support groups, or simply feel free to ask questions you may have about Alzheimer's and related dementias. At Arden Courts, we know, we understand, and we can help because memory care is all we do. Remember, call 888-478-2410 for additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides.
Guaranteed to make you laugh through your tears, Linda Burhan's book, Good Night and God Bless, is filled with humor and heartfelt inspiration to aid anyone facing the challenge of caring for a loved one at the end of life. Her story offers hope for human strength and understanding of weaknesses during a difficult time. Life doesn't normally prepare us to become a loved one's caregiver. When it happens, it's usually sudden. A diagnosis of an illness, age-related frailty, dementia, and life suddenly is anything but normal. And because we don't even know what we don't know, where do we turn to for help or guidance? In Connecting Caregivers, answers to the questions you didn't know you needed to ask, Linda offers information, education, and inspiration from her own experience and from experts whose advice, practical tools, and personal stories will empower and guide you. Make sure to add these inspiring books to your collection today, available on Amazon.com.
Introducing the life-changing Footbar Walker.
I'm Peggy from Danville, Kentucky, and I'm 91 years old. The Footbar Walker revolutionized my care of George. It absolutely benefits the patient and the caregiver both, and that's the beauty of it. It's so easy to use. It folds up just like a dream. I got it in and out of the car without any effort at all. The saving that I made from having to put him in a nursing home came to about $192,000.
Does someone you love use a walker? Do they struggle to get up from a seated position? Are you a caregiver dealing with physical pain and stress as you help your patient? The Footbar Walker was designed to assist not only the patient, but also the caregiver. Patients have more control standing up, and no lifting from the caregiver is required. See how it works at thefootbarwalker.com. That's thefootbarwalker.com. Peggy, would you recommend the Footbar Walker?
Do I ever? I would not be in the health that I'm in today at this age had it not been for the Footbar Walker.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
You know, I love the Footbar Walker, and my friends Cindy and Christina from AE Corner, Adaptive Equipment Corner, are going to say it is the best walker around for the caregiver and the loved one. And they're going to be in town in September.
Yay.
And I get to meet them in person. Mm. And we're going to do a whole bunch of stuff together, so I'll keep you apprised of that. But while we were on the little break there, there was a couple of the things you said you wanted to mention, Deb.
I just want to mention there's I can treat postoperatively after people have had surgery if they have scars or old scars that are bothering them, or even like C-section scars. Because if you knew like where the meridians run through the body, they start in the head, go down to the feet, and then there's some that start at the feet, come back up to the side, to your sides, sides out to fingers, fingers up to head. So anytime that there's a blockage or something blocking the roadway for those meridians, the flow slows down. So if you have scars, I don't stick needles in them, I have another tool that I use that treats the scars, and it doesn't matter where. I treated a gentleman who had his appendix taken out when he was like 6. Then he had, because it got infected, they had to leave it open. So I had a nasty scar. He was 50 when I treated him. Treated the scar, and the tissue pinked up, and it was nice, and it was healthy again. So it doesn't have to be fresh scars. It can be old scars.
That's wonderful.
And even, like I said, the C-section scars, when I remember, and I don't always, I try to have them feel the scar before I treat it. And then feel it afterwards. And they're like, oh my God, I can barely feel. Like some of them, people are like hunting for it. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. So scar treatment is another good thing.
Good, good, good. All right. Well, it's been a fabulous show today. I want to tell you about two things. The VA Caregiver Support, they're having a virtual caregiver summit Friday, September 8th at 1 p.m. If you're interested, you can call 727-398-6661. extension 17239, and there'll be another one on September 9th from 1 to 3. And if you don't write this all down, you can just go to lindaburhans.com and message me, and I will send you the information. Also, I want you to go to lindaburhans.com, and I want you to nominate a caregiver. Every person that is nominated for the caregiver contest receives a gift. And then once every quarter, we have one caregiver that gets a huge gift, and it's just picked randomly because every caregiver is a winner to us. And when they get the big gift, it's usually a massage and a facial and a haircut and a bunch of gift cards and some fabulous stuff,
yes.
Some respite care.
Yeah.
So please, because I'll tell you that the caregivers are just so touched that someone even nominates them. So thanks so much for being with us this week. Remember, God loves you all the time, and have a delicious day. Mm-hmm.